You know, it must have been a difficult time for Jesus. While it appeared as though he was living the ultimate success story, he knew the truth. In only a few short weeks, his fairy tale world would become a living nightmare. What made it worse was, despite the fact that Jesus had tried to tell those around him what was going to happen, no one really seemed to care. Those who came seeking healing and his advice were more concerned about themselves and their own needs, as could well be expected. But what Jesus didn't expect was the reaction that he got from his disciples. When he tried to talk to them, Peter went so far as to imply that he was either delusional or a liar. So here was a man facing one of the worst deaths ever invented by humankind. And there was nowhere to turn, no one to talk to, no one to encourage or support him. Now we know what it's like to be frightened, to be facing something in our lives and to know that we're alone. We know what it feels like when the world is falling in on top of us and we can't do anything to stop it, but when we look around and everybody's so busy living their own lives that we're just there. Alone. And because we understand, because we know how that feels in our own life, we also understand why it finally got to the place where Jesus knew that he just had to get away. He couldn't stand there anymore and pretend like everything was okay. His life was falling apart. And so he did the only thing he knew to do. He retreated to a place where he knew the crowds wouldn't follow him and he could finally get away from the clamoring of the disciples. At least then. At least while he was on the mountain, he could be alone with God. But you know, sometimes things don't work out as we plan. Because when we read the scriptures, we discover that he was anything but alone on that mountaintop. First, he had decided to invite Peter, James, and John to go along with him. And then they had no sooner arrived at their destination than Moses and Elijah show up too. Now, given Jesus' frame of mind and the disciples' general lack of understanding and Moses and Elijah's decades-long disappearance from this earth, one has to wonder what on earth was going on. Why would God do this to Jesus the moment all he really wanted was to be alone? Christians, think about it. When we're facing a catastrophic circumstance, when a friend is suffering or a loved one is ill, when careers are falling apart and relationships are beyond the point of healing, how do we react? Well, experience says that the first thing we normally do is we deny it. No, Our child isn't sick. No, what the doctor is telling us about mom is totally wrong. If I try just a little bit harder, I can salvage the relationship. And then when it doesn't happen, we get angry. How dare somebody double cross us? How dare God allow this to happen to us? And finally we begin to look for alternatives, and we seek that second opinion. Like the disciples, we want to build that sanctuary, that place where we can pull the people we love into safety, and we can keep them there with us, and nothing bad is ever going to happen to them again because we're going to be there for them, right? But time can't be stopped. And there are those stories that can't be rewritten, and endings that can't be revised. And when we suddenly realize that what we were told was going to happen is going to happen, when the future seems dark and hopeless, then in that moment, if we turn towards God, if we place ourselves squarely in God's presence and trust God's ultimate love for us, then God will somehow see it, that there's enough love to carry us through. God will reach out to us in the lives of other people, and we'll realize we're not alone. Not really. And friends, that's why Jesus was on that mountaintop. He went to be alone. But in his loneliness, God sent him what he needed. It was there that he and the disciples received exactly what they would need to carry them through the darkest hours of their lives. Why did Moses and Elijah suddenly appear? Because they knew exactly how Jesus was feeling. After all, wasn't it Moses who led his people out of slavery and faced Pharaoh and did all kinds of things for them, only to have them get mad and threaten him the moment he couldn't or wouldn't provide them with what they wanted? Moses knew what it was like to face an angry mob. He knew what it was like to be threatened by those whom he loved. And Moses stood before Jesus as proof that one could survive. And as for Elijah, well, his remarkable faith allowed him to perform miracles such as feeding the hungry with one measure of flour and a little bit of oil. And not only that, he had raised a person from the dead just like Jesus had, and he had spread God's word into a foreign land just like Jesus had. And just like Jesus, it fell upon Elijah to stand before kings and rulers and priests and call them into accountability, to tell them what they were doing was wrong. Elijah knew what it was like to have a leader plot against you. Moses and Elijah They had faced many of the same circumstances that would soon face Jesus. And with God's help, they had been triumphal. And as Jesus stood in their presence, as he remembered their stories and received their encouragement, his strength was renewed. And the scriptures tell us he was transformed. As for the disciples, the time was approaching when they would be forced to accept the fact that they couldn't save Jesus. They couldn't save him. They couldn't save themselves. And yet, because they stood in the presence of the Holy, when that moment arrived, they remembered and they knew they were not alone. God was there to reach out, to touch them, and to still their fears. And yes, in those moments when the darkness threatens to overwhelm us, the very God who made heaven and earth, the God whose greatness is so vast that even the heavens can't contain it, the very God who breathed breath into our mortal bodies, will come to us to reach out, to touch us, and to still our fears. So feel his hand upon your shoulder. Look into his eyes. Listen to his voice. What is it that you're facing? What is it that God is calling you to do? Well, friends, you're standing on holy ground. God is here. So get up and do not be afraid. He is with you now and forevermore. To God be the glory. Amen.